20, please. I'm just messing with y'all. And thank you for coming to the front row. I think that's awesome. I think it'd be nice if you come to the front row too, brother. Wouldn't that be nice? Where's Ford at? You want to come to the front row, brother? I like looking at young faces. I was getting ready to call you to the front row. Man, so sensitive. Wow. The furnace is working good today, isn't it? Too good. Yeah. So how many of y'all believe Jesus was really dead? Dead, dead, dead. 39, well, there's some people that think he wasn't, you know. Oh, yeah. But 39 lashes on the back generally killed people, or near death. That was enough, and I was just thinking about it. I was listening to that song. He got beat with his cat of nine tails. If you've seen The Passion, people say, oh, it wasn't that bad. No, it was probably worse. But if you've ever seen the kind of beating he took, it was incredible that you could come out of there alive. But I thought he had to lay in that jail cell all night, waiting till that morning. And imagine the pain he was in. Imagine the suffering that he was going through in that jail cell. And they come in and they put the crown of thorns on his head and they beat it into his. Have you ever seen a thorn tree around here? There's some around here. We made a crown one time and there's thorns this big. And that's the ones around here, the ones out in the desert. I don't know, but they look like a cross almost. They've got a T. They've got a sharp point here, and they've got two on the side. And they weave this, and they beat it in his head. And that would just, that's a very tender part of your body. So he endured that. I know it makes you hurt, don't it, Mary? But he endured that. And then he had to carry this cross, which, how many of y'all went on that crosswalk Friday? A couple of you? And that cross has got a wheel on it, and it probably weighs 80 or 90 pounds. But when you've got that laying like that, you're not carrying 80 or 90 pounds. You're on paved streets. You're in health. You just had a big breakfast. No problem. But he was probably packing something that weighed 150 pounds, and I don't know if he had the beam on. I don't know exactly how it was. But he kept falling with it, and finally he had to have help to get it the rest of the way up the hill. So he endured a lot. I think I would have just laid there and let him kill me. Please kill me. Let's do it now. But anyway, he endured all that so we could be free, right? So he was really, really, really dead. In fact, do you remember the part in Psalms that says, not one of his bones will be broken? In Psalm 22, read Psalm 22 if you want to see a description of death on the cross 700 or 800 years before there was such a thing. So they said, the Jewish priest said, break their legs because we don't want them on the cross. That'll mess up our Sabbath day. Go on and kill them and get them off the cross so we don't have to look at this. So they went to the thieves and they took his sword. Of course, they had swords. I mean, heavy swords. And they... wham! They broke their legs. And when your legs are broke on the cross, you can no longer breathe because you've got to push up because your lungs are pretty much paralyzed from all that stretching. And so they broke their legs and they suffocated and they went to Jesus and they went to break his legs and they went, he's already dead. So he had no bones broken, which had to come to pass that way. And they said, pretty much, be sure. So they took a sword and shot it up in his rib cage, and it said blood and water flowed out. So I think that's probably significant, don't you? Verse 1. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, which was probably John, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Mary Magdalene, a holy woman of God all her life, grew up in the temple. Her father was a priest. Is that true? Mary Magdalene, who what? Was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons. Mary Magdalene, who was a demoniac. Mary Magdalene, who was known by all the men around Jerusalem. She was the first one to the tomb. That's significant, isn't it? Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Now, I don't know if that was what they call the shrouded Torah. I don't know. They claim they've got a, I don't know if there really is. Yeah, I know, but it's got the imprint of his face and everything on it. So whether that's really, really real, I don't know. But don't matter. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And Psalm 16:7 says, I will bless the Lord who guides me, even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me, I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My heart rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasure of living with you forever. And there's other places, but a prophecy that Jesus' body would not see decay, but he would raise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary, who was she? The prostitute? The demon-possessed woman? But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Y'all know this, I'm sure, but it's kind of interesting. There was an angel here. And there was an angel here. One at his foot, where his feet were, and one where his head was. And if you read about the Holy of Holies, and if you read about the Ark of the Covenant, how was it? It was solid gold. What did it have inside? It had the Ten Commandments. It had the law. It had the buds that had budded, dead buds that had budded and brought forth almonds, right? And what else was in there? The manna from heaven. The bread of life. These things. Jesus was the bread of life, right? Jesus was new life to dead things, resurrected things. Jesus fulfilled the law. Praise the Lord. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. So all this was in the ark. And he's laid down in this tomb. And there's an angel there and there's an angel here. And on the Ark of the Covenant, on the top of it, is all gold. If you ever seen a picture of it, it's got an angel on one end, which kind of, the ark looks like a casket, doesn't it? It had one on one end and one on the other. And so, to me, these angels were fulfilling what the Ark of the Covenant, like it came to pass. So, that's not a very good explanation, but anyway, that's what it says to me. Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken him away. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when Jesus had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know what it was Jesus. Didn't even know it was him, because last time she saw him, He was bloodied and grooved and marked and broken. He didn't even, the Bible says, he no longer looked like a man. His face was so distorted where they had pulled his beard out and they beat him and his eyes were swollen. Didn't even look like a human being anymore. He was so messed up. So it's there's no wonder she didn't know who it was. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." You know, that reminds me of a scripture. I know some people have had visions of seeing Jesus, and I don't doubt that a bit. But when anything appears to you in word or prophecy or anything, the Bible says that you will know him. Sheep will know him. The sheep will know him and will not follow the voice of another. So I think it was his voice. I think it was the presence of God on him. I think it was the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And she went, "This is what I felt when he cast those demons out of me. This is what I felt when he forgave me for all these sins of prostitution. This is Jesus." There was no doubt in her mind, no matter what he looked like, right? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. The same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they had the doors locked. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." They had the doors locked and he came through the wall. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He just came and appeared to them and said, "Peace. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive." And he'd already went to hell and he'd already preached the gospel to those who were in captivity. He preached life and he went to Satan and he went, "Give me them keys." And he had every right to take back the keys to death and hell. Amen. And if he has them, you have them. Amen. If Jesus has the keys to death and hell, you have them. Praise God. You don't have to live under the curse anymore. You don't have to live under what mommy and daddy did. You don't have to live under old wretched grandpa, whatever. You don't. Amen. Maybe my grandpa wasn't wretched, but a lot of them are. You are not that anymore. You are under the covering of the King. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior, right? Praise God, the curse of the law is broken. 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 Yay! Don't have to live under it no more. Shoo! But it's still many years on the road, many more miles to go, right? Cannot waste another single day. "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Ghost. Do you believe they got the Holy Ghost when that happened? Or did they have to wait for a day of Pentecost? They got the Holy Ghost right then. I think the presence of God was manifested. I think the Holy Spirit was manifested in gifts and anointings on the day of Pentecost. But praise God, they received. How did he do it? It was a breathed on them. Which, what's the definition of spirit? Well, it's what? Breath? Yes. I'm trying to think of the Greek word, pneuma, which means air current. It's like, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm glad there's no babies. Well, there is. Man, that's such a good baby. She hears my voice and don't get upset. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Whoa, that puts a lot of responsibility on us, don't it? We can't carry around, we can't hold grudges no more. We can't hold unforgiveness no more. Never should have anyway. Now, Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. What do you reckon he was doing? Think he was out partying or something, or mourning, or thought, well, it's all over now. What do you think was going on? Doubting? Probably. Yeah. I think they were all doubting, you know, up till that point when he actually came, the resurrected Jesus came and he appeared. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So, praise the Lord. He's resurrected. Amen. He's resurrected. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter." He said, "It's expedient for you. It's a good idea that I get out of here, because if I don't leave, you won't have the presence of the Holy Spirit." Now there's Jesus walking in Laura, praise God. There's Jesus walking in Deb and Buster, praise God. There's Jesus walking in everybody here that has embraced the Lord. Amen? And so Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? He was dead, wasn't he? He rose from the dead. He appeared to thousands. It's proof. Our calendar, when you write the date today, it will tell you that it's been 2,016 years since Jesus was born. The whole world, everything changed. What? B.C.? A.D.? That don't mean after death either. They taught me that in school. It means anno domini, after his birth. Because if you didn't do that, you'd be leaving out 33 years, wouldn't you, in time. So, if he's resurrected, Buster, you're resurrected, man. You're resurrected. You're resurrected. You're resurrected. You are the resurrection and the life. He who follows me, what? Will not die, but you will live forever. You will live eternally. Jesus, what did he do for you, Buster? Quick.
He saved me. I get eternal life.
He saved you, praise God. Did he deliver you from anything?
Oh, all sorts of stuff.
Just give me two. light ones. We don't hear nothing too bad.
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Praise God.
And being lost. I mean, just not knowing him, not having a relationship.
Just lost. Anybody depressed before Jesus? Anybody was depressed? Were you depressed?
I was.
Why were you depressed? You know?
No.
Living with me.
Yeah. No. Come on. I wasn't fishing for that.
I don't know.
Did you not have hope of things getting any better? I don't know. You were just depressed. You don't have to know why. Man, if I didn't have no hope of things getting any better than this planet. Really, if you think about it, I love it. It's a nice place here, but guess what? Did you not hear a guy say one time, he said, poor people kill people to get money because they think it'll get them happy. Rich people kill themselves because they already know it don't work. I thought, that's deep, and it's true. It's true. A lot of rich folks, I think the highest suicide rate in America is psychiatrists. What's that tell you? Why are you going to go there for help? They'll help you all right. What about you? What did Jesus do for you, brother?
Hey, saved me from drinking, from smoking pot, from going to bad concerts, whole lot of stuff. I mean, I just sorry sometimes that I didn't have him sooner in my life. I got saved at 20 when I was 25.
Wow.
Then a year later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and ever since, I haven't looked back. But I didn't have to go to a psychiatrist. I didn't have to go anyway. When Jesus wants to purge something for your life, just obey, lay it down, and don't ever pick it up again. And then you'll stay free from it. Stay free from it. And you have to surround yourself with godly people. And then the other thing you have to do is you have to make sure your home don't have anything in it that's going to cause compromise or temptation. And that parents sometimes have to take a tough stand.
Amen.
You know.
I did. I wasn't well liked around my house.
But I wouldn't have seen miracles. I wouldn't have been able to preach and teach and administrate or travel or experience any things I've experienced as a Christian if I'd remained lost and unsaved. I would have just remained empty and unfulfilled and satisfied. And then I would, if I died in my lostness, I would have went to hell. And so I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell.
Praise the Lord.
But I mean, that was the first thing, but I didn't know Jesus had a whole lot more to go with that. And that was really thrilling when I found out he had a whole lot more.
That would have been enough, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. What concert are you talking about?
Deep Purple.
Oh, man.
Boston, Led Zeppelin.
No, come on, man. I know about that. What did he set you free from, Samuel? You're a young man, but still.
He gave me the love that I never really had from my older brother because it was just hard on Logan, and God kind of, I don't know, he just replaced the love that I really got from him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody depressed and hopeless here? You just feel like hope has passed you by, man. Is anybody... You're struggling with hope. You're struggling with, surely, things can have to get better than this. If you are, come up to this altar. Really, God will set you free of that. Really, today.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I got over giving a rip what people thought. What was it Dave Hogan said? He lost his flying flip. That's what he said. I lost my flying flip a long time ago. And you know what? Every time I was in church for years, and probably still need to, anytime there's an altar call, brother, you know what? I was up there, man, because I knew there was more. I knew that I didn't have it together like I thought I did. And every time I did, I got cleansed, and I walked out of there, it's free. Jesus sets you free, but... Confession is good for the soul. That's not in the Bible, but it's so true. Praise the Lord. I know you were never into nothing, but go on and tell us what God did for you.
He's done so much for me that
I could never be grateful for what he's done to me. I would annihilate people from me. I just didn't want people around sometime. I learned to tune you out. I could tune you out just like that for days and days.
I remember that.
Remember that? Well, I could do it, but and now thank God I don't want to tune anybody out because I might miss what they've got for me.
Praise the Lord.
And I hung around with the wrong crowd when I was younger. They got me into quite a lot of trouble sometimes.
You probably were the wrong crowd. Jesus. Gee, I'm sorry. Well, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, haven't we?
Can I share a little fact about another tidbit about the folded?
Sure.
I have a Jewish friend, and she said that they...
Here, put that to your mouth. To your mouth. There you go.
Right on it like fingers do. Back, and I don't know if they still do it, but back in the day, they would wear like aprons when they worked. And when they got done with a job, that's when they folded it up, and it meant the job was finished. And so that's what that represented.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. It was finished, wasn't it? Well, I'd like to invite you, if you need prayer for anything, if you've lost your joy, if you've lost your peace, if you just want to come up here and praise him for what he's done in your life, you know, I invite you to do that. And I also invite you to take one of these, anybody that wants one, these Easter lilies, if you want one. They're called resurrection lilies is what they're called. Put some music on, Mike. It's so quiet in here.